Did you have a good fourth? Yeah? Enjoy yourselves? Good, good. It was warm enough, right? Yeah, yeah. I think I experienced one of the hottest Wednesday night chapels at camp in a while. I can't remember it getting that hot in the chapel. The chapel is not air conditioned, okay? So, actually, none of our buildings are air conditioned, but it got so hot. It was just so crazy hot. Man, it was amazing. I'm not sure if it was the Holy Spirit moving on the campers to move out. We do this Wednesday evening service for the older portion of campus. They come in. The worship is a little more mature. The message is a little more mature. There's an invitation. We set up along the east side if you've been to Beach Point. And if you haven't been to Beach Point, I would invite you this month to come and see us at Beach Point, okay? The month of July, we like to have folks come out and see things in action, camp and action days, and see the facilities. We've got some new things happening. The new horse facility is open. New horse barn and facilities are all open. Love to have you come and see that. But feel free to come on out. Give me a call if you could. Give me a heads up. Afternoons, evenings are best. We're pretty locked in till about 1 o'clock, 1:30. But got a lot of freedom, flexibility in scheduling afternoons and evenings. So give me a call. Come on out. I'd like to see you. But it was so hot. It was so hot. And on Wednesday evenings, we set up on the east side of the chapel lawn torches throughout the entire hillside. And toward the end of the service, as we give an invitation, the campers are invited to go out, and there's a staff person at each torch. And they're invited to go ask questions, pray, meet Christ, spend time with God, confess sin, whatever the Spirit lays on their heart to do. And it was quite the mass exodus this Wednesday evening. So I'm not sure if it was the heat, the intense heat, or the Holy Spirit's heat, but there was definitely quite a mass exodus. So, but it's been good stuff. This morning we're going to be looking at a passage out of the book of Colossians. Colossians is one of those books, one of those letters that Paul wrote to a body of believers. Y'all pretty familiar with that. Paul and the writings that God gave him. You know, we tend to forget that, okay, this is a letter from Paul to this group of people, but we tend to forget that the Bible itself is the living word of God. The Bible itself is God-breathed, okay? It is God's word that God gave to different individuals, like Paul, to pen down and to put into writing, into a book form, okay? And he wrote this letter to the church in Colossae and the people of the church. And there's so much in the book. It's so encouraging because, you know, he starts off with just that. He starts off encouraging them and just pouring into them and recognizing them for the great things that they're doing and so on and so forth. And then he moves into chapter 2, and he continues to encourage them in their growth in Christ and who they once were in chapter 3 and who they are now. It's so relatable to any generation, you know. I mean, it's so applicable. So, you know, it's just amazing what God has given him to put in here and how applicable it is. But one of the things that they struggled with was false teachings. And it's believed that was one of the main motivators of Paul writing the letter to the church in Colossae. It's because of the false teaching and false practices and beliefs that they had entered into the church, had crept into the church. And he was very greatly concerned about that because it was steering people astray. It was pulling people away from the truth. It was pulling people away from their relationship with Christ, and for good reason. And they never could quite put a label on it at the time as to what was going on, the practices, but later on in history, a title was developed, was generated. Gnosticism, you know, was what they kind of considered it to be, what was happening, what was taking place in the Church of Colossae. These teachings and the fundamental foundation, you know, of being an agnostic was that you put your belief, or the belief was that all matter things were bad. Everything was bad. Everything of matter was bad. And so that led them to the conclusion that, well, this is matter, okay? The human body, this is matter. So then that kind of brought them to the place of, well, if all matter is bad, then Jesus was human flesh. Not that Jesus was bad, but, well, he can't be God because God is good. You see how confusing that could be? So there was all this confusion going on within the church, and Paul was greatly concerned for good reason of that. So that was part of what motivated him in this letter. But the part that I want to take us to the end of the book of Colossians this morning and look at just a couple verses in chapter 4. Paul said this in verse 5. Well, let's start off at verse 2. He says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray to us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." And then verse 5. "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." That you may know how to answer everyone. This seems so elementary on the surface. And it always did to me as well. And I think there's two ways that we could look at this passage. Now, the letter is to the Church of Colossae, without a doubt, okay? It's to the body of believers, all right? And Paul says in verse 5, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." The way you act toward outsiders. Now that logically leads us to believe that Paul is clearly instructing us to be wise in the way that we act toward those that are not a part of the church. Would you agree? Yeah, I agree with that, without a doubt. I would ask us to consider, though, identifying who the outsiders are. There are churches all across this country, all across the world, full of millions and millions of people that attend church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. They're part of Bible studies, part of fellowship groups, all over the place, that do not know Christ. They don't know Christ. So are the outsiders the people out there? Maybe not. Maybe not. So how do we determine who the outsiders are? I think that gets a little tricky. I mean, you know, the outsider, if you recall, Paul puts it really simple in Romans 10:9, because he says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. It's that simple. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So the outsider is anyone that hasn't done that, correct? Anyone that hasn't done that. But there's a little bit of a catch in there, because it says, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Back in the book of Jeremiah, God told his people in chapter 17 that no one knows the heart. Who can know the heart? Only the Lord can know the heart. So who are the outsiders? It would be wise to live as if every single person you come in contact with is an outsider. Because who can know the heart? Only the Lord can know the heart. I learned a long, long time ago to never profess that someone is or isn't a believer based on anything I see. Because I don't know. I can speculate, but I don't know. The outsider. Who is the outsider? He says, make the most of every opportunity. You've got VBS starting? Make the most of every opportunity. It would be wise to make the most of every opportunity. What is every opportunity? Every moment of every day, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Whether we're in the car, whether we're at the store, whether we're on our jobs, whether we're at the school, whether we're at the lake, whether we're on a picnic, every opportunity. Every opportunity. He says, let your conversation be always full of grace seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And you've heard that time and time again, if you spent any time around the church. You've heard the reference the reference of a life in Christ being seasoned with salt. One of our theme verses this week, Matthew 5, let your light shine. Let your light shine, you know, seasoned with salt. You know. Salt is one of those things that, you know, it seasons, it purifies, you know, it does many, many things. And one of the things that it does is, you know, is in fact, it purifies, without a doubt. What would that be? What would that be to have salt purified? Or to have our speech purified, you know, let everything, our conversations purified. What would that mean? Would that mean that our speech should be grace laced? Would that mean that our speech should be, which something I wasn't earlier today, you know, patient laced? Would that mean that, you know, fill in the blank? If it's seasoned with salt, if our conversation is seasoned with salt, see, I think that as simple as this little two passage section is, there's so much application and so much for us to consider in just the way that we walk through each day and each moment of each day and the opportunities for us to just simply be Jesus to those around us. Just opportunities for us to just simply be Jesus to those around us. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Do we do it in our own power? We don't. We don't do it in our own power. Because we are flesh and bone. We do it by continually leaning into, by continually acknowledging the presence of God within us. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within the heart of every believer. That's how we do it. By just continually acknowledging the presence of the Holy Spirit and leaning into it and trusting and listening and hearing and following. That's how we do it. By examining ourselves through what we are called to produce. We're called to produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. It's what we're called to produce. But there's only one way to do it. And that's through the power that God has gifted each of us. That's the only way to do it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, let us do just that. Let us long to be wise in the way that we act toward everyone, For Father, you are the only knower of a heart. So Father, let us long to be wise. Give us that burning desire to follow you. We thank you for sharing your word with us this morning. We thank you for making your presence known to us this morning, Father. We just ask that you would continue to do so. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.